Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.
Your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KBPL 88.7 Value Being Lit. Our current emergency radio station is 337-8874.
Good morning, welcome. Our guest today is Jim Shin. Jim is a licensed clinical social worker, really cool guy, and has lots of gigs going on.
Lots of gigs.
Predominantly, he's still comfortable in Portugal.
There was at the junior high, they did not get pink slipped.
Years of service at your magic shield.
My magic shield. Did many things, met many wonderful students. And
a lot of great students came out of Calexico.
A lot of great students. Mary wants her accolades right now, so another success story.
And I'm surrounded by your ex-students. It was
really cool to meet them. And on the street, and then I let them know, like Mario, hey man, you can pay my social security pretty quick.
$12.86 after we figure out this economic thing.
But today we're talking about one of the other gigs that you have.
Yes, I have a private office. I've been in a private counseling for over 20 years, kind of individually, kind of on the down low. But recently, last fall, opened up a counseling center. Sunshine Counseling Center, and in it there are four clinicians. You met one yesterday, Norma Munoz. She's a Spanish-speaking therapist. We have a couple Spanish-speaking therapists, and Lorena Olivas, who also works for behavioral health, Bob Whalen, a psychologist in the Calexico High, and myself. So we have a really good crew of clinicians. Most of us are part-timers because we all work full-time. So
keep your day job.
I am going to keep my day job. We got a wife to take care of, so first things first.
What kind of services? Just kind of like a short, like an overview.
It's we're kind of a general counseling center. We do individual family counseling. We have a lot of expertise working with kids. We have certain areas of expertise, like one of mine is, you and I have talked many times about drug and alcohol services. So that's basically it, I do some employee assistance. I work with a lot of employers. We have an employee who's had a meltdown going through a divorce.
So they're called the EAP.
EAP, yes. I've been an EAP service provider for many years for different organizations.
Do you have any family stuff or any group stuff over there?
Yes, actually, recently one of our goals, we're moving to a new office, and my old office is available for rent for $500 a month, so I just want to let you know about that. But our new office, we have
actually four cinder blocks.
Actually, they're Legos. Anyway, in our new facility, we have a group room, and we've done groups. We've done a grief group recently, and every Saturday we do, the first Saturday of the month, we do what we call Saturday seminars, and I believe our next one is by Ms. Munoz on in Spanish about stress management. So we are committed to doing groups, and if we have the opportunity, there's a lot of things I really would like to do. It's nice that we have the actual structure now to do it because the other place is kind of small and kind of crowded.
Great. Are these seminars free?
The Saturday seminars are free. They're monthly. And the other things we want to do, I could say, I have expertise in the area of grief. That's one of the ones.
Sounds painful.
It is painful. I have personally been through a lot of pain. And for me, I kind of say, well, that's what God's put me through my preparation. When I was in high school, I had, between high school and I was like 17, I had like five friends die. Mm-hmm. And I was in a counselor in high school I talked to. Mm-hmm. So here I am, and I'm a recovering addict alcoholic. And here I'm dealing with pain, massive amounts of pain. Me and my friends, and we were basically, I think, neglected. I'm not disrespecting the counseling, but when I became a counselor, that's kind of been a theme with me, is looking at the whole issue of grief, because, a lot of times it is ignored, or it's not dealt with, and so what do people do? They cope with it in dysfunctional ways.
Today we're talking to Jim Shin. He's a licensed clinical social worker, and we're talking today about a lot of different gigs that he has, and one of them is being a counselor at Calexico Unified School District, at Deanna School, Junior High, and the other one is having this county center, Sunshine County Center. Do you have also, I mean, these services are all for, you know, the whole family. In other words, for adults, children. Do you see any children or any other?
Yes. Actually, since I work full-time at the junior high, I kind of push the children work over towards Florentino and Martha and Bob because, you know, I just...
I hated the office, exactly.
But, you know, I really want to work with different populations. But I still work with kids. Like I said, this family come in, they're going through a divorce. They have, the mom's just two kids. Mm-hmm. The kids are having night terrors and stuff like that. And, you know, I love family therapy. Family therapy I really love. But when I say I kind of push the kids the other way, I don't want to deal with those adolescents whose parents are saying, fix Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, because it's really
hard. They're being there. You drop them off.
They require family work. They want to do that. You know, I might deal with that so much in the school system. And I just don't want to go there because there's so many other things I just really want to do. And that's part of the center is our counseling camp is to do some cutting edge stuff.
So where are you looking at?
Well, I'm just going to say we're at 1073 Ross Avenue, Suite C. That's right there by the Buckland Park. We had an office on 8th Street, but this is our last week there, so we're going to talk about where I was. Let's talk about where we go.
So on Ross, just west of Buckland Park.
Just west of Buckland Park. There. It's called the El Centro Medical Arts Center.
You can hear the frisbee if you're not careful.
Yeah, and it's a brick building, so that's okay. But hopefully we can work it into changing the name to the Ross Wellness Center because, as you are very much we've talked about in the past, about the importance of wellness, prevention, keeping people healthy, and so there's some other healthcare providers who have similar philosophies in there. There's some open office space there, so if you know anybody who's looking for some office space, who's kind of wellness-oriented, because I'm in my geriatric phase, I'm 57 almost, I'm interested in having a medical practitioner there who focuses on geriatrics because it's a specific life phase with unique health issues, and counseling pretty much indicates a lot of times.
So you could be willing to exchange services for free rent? That's what I'm considering.
Well, not necessarily, but I'm definitely needing
to have a philosophy of how I should be on.
Yeah. He's saying that because he probably Scott would want to be on. Exactly. Email him. Email Scott.
Well, Scott's a neighbor, so yeah, we can always get free services. But, you know, one of our commitment, although, you know, we're people of faith, and one of our commitment is to try to find ways to provide services to people who have the inability to pay. A lot of people can go to behavioral health and they get great services. Mm-hmm. But there's some other people who fall through the cracks, and they're what we call the working poor or the uninsured, you know, of health care issues in our community. So we're looking at ways that we can fund, get funds for services and be able to serve families and individuals and families.
Well, you guys ever get to the level of creativity where it was kind of like an old-fashioned barter and trade system? I mean, can I bring, like, 2008?
Yeah. Actually, That speaks to me because my father was a veterinarian here, and he actually used to do that. He would bring home bottles of Kahlua, sometimes chickens and things, and he would say he was a veterinarian, he took care of dogs. And I was working with one student who was an outstanding, I never saw the art, but she was an outstanding artist, and she sold some of her art, and one of the things we're thinking about doing on the wall there by the facility is putting up a nice kind of zone kind of mural because it gets tagged right there, but it's a great wall and it, you know, it's something very visually pleasing for the community that kind of goes with the Buckland Park. But,
yeah.
Oh, and that would be a great exchange of services. If there's an artist out there, the number is 353-5059, and you want to do a mural, kind of a jungle scene, and we talk about having calling ourselves the Ross Wellness Village. You know?
There's a lot of students out there that are very talented. There's a lot of.
Okay. I'm very interested. I have money to pay for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to, you know, get into six figures or anything like that. But a student who loves to do art, it's a beautiful wall, and I've been committed to painting over the graffiti since we signed our lease a month ago. But if we can get a mural there that either speaks to the issue of wellness, it'd be great advertising. But the other thing about it, it's something nice for our team because, you know, Girl Valley, there's a lot of nice things to look at, but there's a lot of things that are not so nice. So let's, you know, let's beautify and also give some positive.
Well, you've got a good location right there next to Buckland Park. It's very calming. It's very, you know.
You guys used to be there many years ago.
Yeah.
During
alcohol, that's true. We were.
And the people who are already there are some friends of mine, and they're quality practitioners. There's, I'll give a plug for Volusic. Dr. Volusic, a chiropractor, and Gail Hubbard. She's a hearing specialist. She's been here, there for many years. There's a dermatologist for having that thing yet. So there's a couple offices. So, you know, if we could have there a dermatology specialist, and then for me, because I have expertise in counseling around pregnancy, if there was an OBGYN, for me, that would be desires of my heart. So if anybody out there, you know, I even got to find medical schools and say, hey, that young intern who's in, you know, dermatology or
relaunch.
Relaunch. Well, you know, this is a great place for health practitioners to come. We need them. And there's, you know, look at the growth of our community.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Not that it's just community. I mean, people who come down here, they're not going to make a lot of money, but there was one doctor, Dr. Free, I don't know if you know Dr. Free.
And I'm trying to get him on the radio because he's special on HIV.
Yes, you know, he has, and I, years ago, I was playing basketball, I hurt my knee, and I had all this fluid in it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, go to Free, he's a knee guy, you know. And it turns out this guy, he does work on U.S. Open tennis people, and he works on knee jams and support and grief.
Yeah,
and I said, what are you doing down here? He goes, oh, I just love the cases down here in Pearl Valley, you know, because it is a very unique community in terms of some of the psychosocial stressors.
And then he works a lot at everybody working with HIV, AIDS patients.
That's great. And that's something I don't know that much about, but that speaks to his quality as a health practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
I get this point of curiosity because I know you've been shooting on it, and I know you're going to have something really thoughtful to kind of contribute to.
It's very confusing.
As mental health practitioners, as people who are working in the community for mental health, how people to come into your door have to have a problem. How do you begin to shift that into wellness, where it's really not a problem as much to focus on the problem as it is on building and maintaining the resilience and the flexibility to kind of get through this?
Mm-hmm. So very good question. Very good question. No, as you well know, the first part of the process is an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more recent strategies is solution-focused therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Solution-focused, somebody comes, let's say they have a problem with depression, and they come to the door and they're depressed. And as you assess them, as it turns out, they're not depressed all the time. There are some days they feel okay. And then you look at, well, those days you're not depressed, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, those are the days I walk, or those are the days I need my friends for coffee. And so you identify what's working or not, and you try to expand that. Because for me, what resiliency is, when we're talking whether it's under youth, adults, or the aging, is looking at those support systems, those behaviors that not only promote wellness, but they also heal disease. And we talked earlier, I went to a conference last week with John Grass, and we went to, it was a statewide conference on wellness and mental health. Mental health and spirituality. And what is interesting, I've had a lot, you see my writing and papers and all that stuff, but I've had a lot of thoughts about that, just my experience in the 12-step programs, the fact that spirituality is a powerful curative factor. And this conference was instigated, it was consumer-inspired. This is consumer-specific. And for many years, my spirituality was ignored. And see, that's one of those things. In terms of resilience, you were saying, like, when you talk about major mental illness like depression, suicide, schizophrenia, people have strong faith, and they didn't really get into specifics of the faith, but if you have a strong faith in spirituality, you don't have those types of health problems. So that's a really good example. And here in schools, you know, we go to the Church of Satan, we have to kind of like ignore spirituality. So, and it's actually, it's negatively played in school systems. So we're actually promoting bad mental health because we're ignoring a whole important issue that helps people be resilient. Because we know that through your faith, generally most churches are pretty positive environment. People aren't drinking and drugging there. And you're feeling the love from your friends, and you're getting some spiritually fed, some positive things about, and just like HIV, you know, we really shouldn't be doing drugs and alcohol because that stuff leads to HIV. So, anyway, it was fascinating, and it was also very encouraging, but it speaks to the issue of resiliency, and I probably said too much.
We're going to do redemption. Let's talk about we're going to do redemption. 337-877 is the phone number. 337-874. The phone number, in case you want to give us a call this morning. So, well, for me, I think, how do you separate spirituality and religion? Is that a tough call, or is that something that I mean, they all start their own foundation.
Right. That is a critical call, okay, because religion oftentimes is about rules. And I try to say that I'm not a religious person. What I am is a person who has a relationship. And at the conference, there was something, there was people were being upset about all the bad things that religion has done. And I understand that. You can look through history and you can read the papers and see. But oftentimes that isn't
the baby in the bathwater.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is those people, and this particular fellow who was doing a seminar, he was a Buddhist, I believe, and I was saying, and he was saying how Tai Chi helped him. I'm saying, but really what was helpful there is not so much the knowledge of Tai Chi, but it was that relationship that brought you to the knowledge of Tai Chi. So it's really about relationships. You know, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that works for me. If you have another relationship and that works for you, then that's what will promote your mental health. So that's, and so the religion thing, you can go overboard about rituals and rules as opposed to a relationship. And the relationship, we really look what's toxic in our lives as children growing up in abusive families, dysfunctional families, toxic relationships. And so when they come out of that, I'll give you my own experience in going to the 12-step programs. I really struggled to get clean and sober because I had all these friends. And here my friends, they love me, but the way they love me is to party with me. You know? And when I went to the 12-step programs, I found relationships that were there to help me get clean and sober. And so, of course, it was spiritual and it was higher powered. But if those people would have started ranting on me about, if they were negative towards me.
Should you not see? Yeah, you're walking around the engine the real quickly to get him to do
that. Well, I have to joke about the 12-step Nazis, you know. But it's the people who mentored me and nurtured me. It's these relationships, you know, that brought me to a knowledge, to a trust in higher power.
Now, can there be somebody going through issues of depression or addiction recover from this without having that relationship?
Oh, yeah. I believe
that that's... Going, because people not have...
I think there are people who do that, who do not have to go that route. Statistically speaking, if you're a full-on addict or alcoholic, what the research says, if you don't go this route, chances are you won't recover. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been my experience and what I've seen. But I have a lot of friends that grew up and we did a lot of drinking and drugging together, and today they're drug-free, and they did not pursue these other paths, So, but often that's the exception, not the rule. Because the research, that's what's the neat thing about this research this past week in the conference, was saying how people who use the resources that make them resilient, spirituality is one of those statistically that keeps coming up in the literature. So.
I guess it's difficult. I mean, being in private practice, you have your own practice, and you can do, a range of services or tools that you can utilize, but working for like the county or state, here's the state coming down saying, to provide good mental health services, you need to do this. And then you're being...
Let me just tell you a little bit about my private practice. I'm a secular trained Christian therapist, okay? And if a person does not... interest is not interest in spirituality, we really don't go there, But that's one of the things that I need to assess for. And one of the things, there was a psychiatrist from the University of California, Irvine, I believe, and he was talking about the fact we don't even assess for it. We don't even talk about it because for some reason in the church, the fact that since we're not trained in it, we don't know what to do about it, and so we don't do anything, but that is to the detriment of our clients. And so what he was saying, and was the theme, is, number one, we need to discuss more. Number two, we need to really look at it as an asset in the treatment of mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, it was a consumer-inspired movement, and it was like one person who was in one of the leaders of this movement, I can't remember the name, but every time he would bring up anything spiritual, he was in a state hospital, the whole system would shut him down. They would start denying him rewards, and opportunities and stuff like that. So it was like this conspiracy to deny his spiritual holiday, and he was kind of going, that wasn't right. And so part of it, they're saying, is there needs to be more training, And they're also needs to recognize the reality of mental health, that this is a big part that has been ignored for decades.
Well, you know, just off the top of my head, it occurs to me that one of the reasons that it remains, I mean, the church and state was first, you know, putting in the pause, I suppose. But I think maybe the other thing is, you know, you can't really sell something like spirituality. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really not somebody who wants to get the corner on the market for spirituality, like a new chemical that would help you with depression, or even a psychotherapy technique that would help you with depression. Those have certain marketability, and you look at spirituality, and it's something that's just there. And sometimes those things that are just there are the things that are most kind of overlooked.
Well, I agree with you, the whole marketing thing. If we can't make money off it, in our society, a lot of times we will ignore it. But the other thing that I learned at the conference, and, you know, it was an e-commerce, they're going to have it next year. They had Northern California, something. Sigmund Freud was just antagonistic towards spirituality. And not only that, in mental health, there's a tendency to pathologize it. If you have spirituality or, you know, you have some type of a spiritual experience, what do you call that? We call that schizophrenia.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality is, it's not schizophrenia. Some people are schizophrenic. Some people have spiritual experiences. But I like what you said, Scott, there about the fact that it doesn't fit into, quote, the medical model.
So if you talk to God, you're praying. And if God talks to you, you're schizophrenic.
But, you know, as a Christian, we would say we, in the Christian faith, I guess, speak for everyone, we say God speaks to you. That's a good thing. Because chances are he's not going to tell you to hurt anybody. He's not going to tell you to cheat on anybody. He's not going to tell you to break rules. He's not going to tell you to go down and buy a quart of Jack Daniels. If somebody's telling you to do that, then that might be
your buddy. Or that might be your buddy. Or a bother guy.
You go to a conference and have a bunch of conferences and they speak in tongues, you know. If they weren't in that conference, in that church, or in that wherever we had our conferences, retreat, that person would have been out in the street or something to get...
And the other thing about that, you make a good point about it, is the whole issue of cultural competency. So if a person feels okay in his church talking in tongues, you know, it's not hurting anybody and it's something that's accepted, then that's, you know, it's just like immigrants, you hear a different language. You can't just say, well, I don't understand what they're saying. They obviously are cognitively challenged. No, we're linguistically limited. So, and that's what we got. Cultural competency, you talk about that, but when there's spirituality, we kind of, well, you know, we've kind of blown people with faith off as somehow defected rather than in looking at saying, wow, you know, maybe we need to learn how to relate on that level.
How can you approach that, you know, with somebody that comes into with you and you know, they're coming, raised in a dysfunctional family, abused, dementia, violence, probably they have some post-traumatic stress disorder, and do you approach this about their spirituality or going to, you know, building it up or you know, somebody that never had any foundation, any kind of spirituality, do you bring it up or just, well, something that they never had, and nobody ever told them about it, you know, if they were, you know, being raised in a dysfunctional family, probably, you know, it wasn't there.
That's a great question, because I grew up in a family where my father was kind of anti-faith. My mom was Christian, but she was a traditional woman, which basically allowed dad to be a leader. You know, we were homeschooled, and the whole thing never came up. Other kind, obviously, we're going to deal with safety issues first, okay? You know, if it's domestic violence or serious suicide, you know, we're going to deal with those things to try to get things stabilized in a sense of safety and security. You know, kind of Maslow's hierarchy needs to kind of go there first. But in the context of those issues that the family is facing, let's say it's a common domestic violence situation where there's alcohol involved. So, the guy may be a functional alcoholic, or he may be, you know, one who's not working and, you know, beating up the moral frame. Obviously, we could talk about woman hate in the center of the institutions, find her a safe place. But if indeed there's going to be some reconciliation that happening, then I would bring up the issue of some of our faith-based residential programs like Turning Point and New Creations and Imperial Ministries because that guy's got to get away. Of course, I'm going to talk about VOA, which is a great program, I think, down here in the Valley. But like a lot of our clients, you don't have the ability to pay, so I can't send them over to McDonald's. And now I do that when they have that ability to pay. You know, but you got to really look at the client in their experience. And there is a time for suggesting these different spiritual resources. You know, and obviously, churches have a lot of resources for couples that, you know, they can't afford couple therapy, but churches have these different retreats. Like Catholic churches has a lot of retreats for couples. I mean, so, but if they're in the middle of violence, we're not even going to go there because they're not healthy enough to really deal with that. Being a first, say a first, you know. So, and that comes, you know, in practice, is you really have to be safety oriented because it's just you and the client. You know, you really cannot afford to invest some of your own stuff in that relationship. You really need to focus on them. And that's the reason the licensing process is rigorous, because they don't want just anybody out there dealing with these really dangerous situations.
All right, it's tough hour. We're going to take a short break. We've got Jim Shinner, and let's talk about 3378 Crown Force phone number. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, a wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Welcome. Good morning. We're here today with our guest, Jim Shin, licensed clinical social worker, counselor over at Kansas Junior High School.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The Bullpups. Bullpups. I like to call us Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Nobody ever calls
us Bulldogs.
Bullpups.
English Bulldogs.
I
think I'm stronger than
everybody. I say that every time. What's a Bulldog only?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bulldog. I say I'm a Bulldog three times over.
I went to Fresno State.
You were a Bulldog.
And I used to teach in the University of Redlands.
The graduate
Redlands
are a Bulldog.
So I'm looking across, it goes like,
man, I just have a Bulldog on my head still.
Okay. Yeah. I'll make more of that.
Good morning.
Welcome. 337-8874 is the phone number. We have some good stuff on the table today. We've got Jim's got a new clinic. Let's talk a little bit about the clinic for the APOC people.
Well, we have four clinicians and myself, one of the only of us who works for behavioral health, Wayland's psychologist in Clixby Unified School District.
And Daddy Cleanup.
Daddy Cleanup. Norma Munoz, who is a therapist in private practice in Mexicali for 10 years. And so Florentino and Norma have expertise in the Spanish-speaking family. So.
And Florentino is also, like I said, he's also works for behavioral health, and he's also a Bulldog.
He's also a Bulldog.
And I looked at, was that one of the interview things when you're opening the clinic?
No, actually, Florentino was an intern of mine, and he was just very, very skilled. So was Norma. And I was just going, I can't really teach these people anything. Just, you know, let them work with the kids, and he was great. He had a great sense of humor, and so, you know, that's one of the things most all our clinical staff have a great sense of humor. So that's, if I was going to interview for anything, I'd say, tell me a good joke. So,
you ditched the HC clinic and moving over to Ross Avenue at the clinic right next to Buckland Park.
Yes. Okay. 1073 Ross. Okay. 353-5059. So it's by appointment only because most of us are part-time practitioners who work full-time. Except for Norma. She's going to be full-time. And she's more just Valley, so she doesn't have the connection, but she was on the show yesterday, so that was very cool.
And that's because there's a lot of need for Spanish-speaking, you know, I mean, a lot of these lawyers don't speak, you know, English, or if they do, they feel more comfortable in their language, and they Spanish.
Well, I speak Spanish, but I really don't want to do therapy in Spanish because there's so much in the language. You have to be sensitive, and I just feel incompetent, and I'd rather feel like I'm
providing. Well, I know Spanish, too, but, you know, I feel more comfortable in English than Spanish.
So, but anyway, they're both excellent clinicians, so si quiere hablar con un terapista, que hable español, llame a 353-5059.
Good, yeah.
Anything,
yeah, I can plug.
Taught this one in Spanish. He went to the University of Guadalajara.
Oh, man.
You know, conference.
He's studying constantly.
It's sporadically.
Speaking in an auditorium full of like 1,000 people in a school.
Huge stage
with me and my giant PowerPoint behind me.
Mm-hmm.
It was something.
It was something.
It was something.
You were talking to
Spanish.
You have to step out there.
Specific women's traumas. Very not all treatments.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like to see other people, other guys suffer.
My moment of zen was when I wanted to point something on the PowerPoint, and I don't have a laser pointer, nor do I know anyone. So I stopped, and I ran 40 feet back to the PowerPoint, and I pointed out the point to me, and I said, this is what I want to talk about.
But the weak point, as well as the power, you get your finger.
And that was worth a laugh. I mean, that actually got me a little bit of sympathy in the crowd.
Well, my experience with the Latino community is they're very gracious about people who do not speak very good Spanish.
And he said that.
A lot of times they're not so gracious with Latinos who don't speak good Spanish. I've heard that they hammer. If you're a Latino, you don't speak good Spanish, they nail you. But if you're linguistically challenged,
genetic defect in terms of.
But culturally appropriate services are very important in Imperial Valley.
Are there any, we're talking a little bit about how your clinic fit in terms of people who really weren't right for the working poor, who really didn't qualify for behavioral health, et cetera. Are there any other kind of gaps in treatment or with problems in human conditions that your clinic might be able to help in terms of?
But you're talking about the working poor, we're not organized around the working poor. We're organized around all families. I just have a heart for the working poor because as a student, I got help in graduate school. I got some counseling, and people were very thankful, exchange service. And I painted in addition in exchange for marriage counseling. But, we provide a lot of services for, working professionals and all that. But one of the areas, we do the individual family counseling about depression, anxiety, illness, very good anxiety, different types of behavioral problems, the chemical, my expertise is addictions and chemical dependency. One of the areas we're wanting to really focus on in the next year is the issue of the gambling. We have a casino coming to Calexico. It's going to happen, But the reality is that the gambling issue has been around. So we're surrounded by casinos. And it's a lot of
I know. I love that.
Now, World Poker Tour, it's on several channels. And, people get addicted to that.
It is an addiction that is oftentimes undiagnosed. Oftentimes, it's not one that people talk about. Or they come out and they go, it's just recreation. But if you really look at the numbers and you see this creating legal problems, family problems, people losing their home, a lot of those people losing their home are people who had got bad mortgage counseling. We understand that. But some of those people losing their homes are people who have some serious gambling problems, but they're blaming it on the other thing, just like any others.
I was finally drinking my drug, and it's my job, or it's my life,
No, it's a real deal, and we want to kind of fill that gap. Not that other people aren't dealing with gambling, but we really want to specialize in that, get extra training. I'm not saying that I have a lot of training in working with gamblers. I have experience working with gamblers, but through my chemical dependency training, information and expertise relates well to this type of dysfunction. Mm-hmm. But it's not going away. It's just, especially with Calexico, I'm not looking forward to working with my students in Calexico because they will say, we had to move. Why? What happened? We couldn't pay the rent. Mom was in the casinos. So I don't hear about it that much in my group counseling. I do a lot of groups. I do hear about the drinking, the drugging, and the incarceration of family members. But the issue of the gambling, it's going to get a lot worse.
If there's a casino coming, and there's a casino coming, it will have direct language at this point. Wouldn't there be some sort of environmental impact statement? The construction's going to raise some dust, and so the air quality people are going to have something to say about that. But wouldn't there be a human environmental impact that would have to be addressed as a precondition of them setting up soccer?
Well, that boat has done sailed, what happened probably a couple years ago was Calexico did have someone do an evaluation study, and it was contracted by one of the tribes, and
unfortunately nobody outside of Calexico will be able to go to this casino, so it won't hurt anybody in Alton for a whole
not either. And basically, I review a lot of literature related to the impact of gambling. And on one hand, it was balanced, you know, about, you know, saying there are positives and negatives. But in terms of the recommendation, it basically, well, the positives really outweigh the negatives. I mean, well, that's kind of a value statement. There's certain people who say, well, the casino industry stands to make a lot of money. And you have some vendors that are making a lot of money. But in final analysis, there's a concept I've learned called cannibalism, where a casino comes in and it eats up a lot of these different businesses because it's taking money away from just like the other restaurants. And not only that, the research shows that among senior citizens, and I'm going to the senior citizen health care over at the community center today, senior citizens, their savings grow dramatically. And we were talking to somebody here in the studio saying how, you know, they have family members who are doing this. So they have a possibility if they have a gambling addiction, here they are a senior, losing their home and losing their independence because it's out of control. And a lot of people say, well, you know, it's recreational. Well, yeah, so it's drinking, but when you end up in jail frequently or you can't pay the mortgage or...
Or they don't have the medicine to pay, you know, they're not allowed to pay for the medicine.
Right, and that's such a big health care cost these days. So anyway, we're not seeing it because we're not really looking for it.
But it's already happening. And I was mentioning during the break is that right there in First Street, right there in Calexico by the border, they have the buses that pick up the people and they take them for the whole day to either, you know, one of the several, all any of these. And then they have, it's a bunch from the casinos coming over here, and we're going to Calexico, taking all the people and taking them to the casino for an all-day trip. So, and, you know, they might lose, you know, 1,000 last week, but today they won 200, and then that gets them. You know what? Yeah. You know, I'm going to get back those $1,000.
Well, that rush payment.
It's just like you said, like an addiction, you know, just, okay, I'm going to, and it's already happening. And then you look at, turn on the TV, you know, you have that, well, like I said earlier, it's being glamorized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't realize that you have to put in $10,000 to win that $2 million, $3 million jackpot or whatever it is. And people lose.
In the balance sheet. And that's one of the important factors. We as clinicians need to be better about assessing the impact of this particular behavior on the family system. That's one of those things. And historically, I haven't been trained to look at the chemical dependency, the drugs and alcohol. Yeah, lots of training. But the chemical, the gambling thing, you know, but it's come up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been come up. I used to do work with federal employees, and, you know, I would say, gambling, internet gambling, and that's good you mentioned that, because that is a huge thing. But since I don't know anybody who does it, you know, you can do it in the quiet of your home, just like the whole porn thing. You know, you can do it quiet, and nobody even knows, but you can just run up these huge bills. But in my work with employee assistants, with federal employees, and a lot of them make a lot of money, because they can work a lot of hours, and so they have all this money, and then...
They can lose all that money, too.
Well, with the cutbacks, you know, you organize your lifestyle around this income, and then you're losing it from gambling, and then your hours get cut because the budget gets cut, and then your house of cards and it falls. And so I would love to get a grant to look at the mortgage industry in this particular community and see how many people were actually lost their house because of the gambling issue. I think it's a real deal there, but you know, it's not something that's really been looked at. And then, you know, everybody's just looking at the old jobs. There'll be jobs. I just have to say this. I think they put in Flexco because they want those jobs to go to Mexicali residents. And, you know, the impact on the ballot, the positive impact, is even going to be less than, what we anticipate.
Mm-hmm. The reality is that as the economic screw has been tightened on all of us in various ways, and now gas is going up a penny every 12 hours. As the screw tightens, stress gets increased, and anytime stress gets increased, stuff like depression, stuff like alcoholism, stuff like drug addiction, stuff like gambling problems, all that stuff tends to amp up a couple of times. And gambling may be the worst of those because there may be some money at the end of the
tunnel. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know what? We're losing our home. You know what? It's crunching some money, and And in this case, I can go ahead.
Well, you have a family thing going on. But the other thing, just in my substance abuse, you know, the most I would use, and I wasn't like some other people, but, you know, the most I would use on a given night, it would be anywhere from, if I'm just drinking, it could be, you know, just beer, and that's, you know, 10 to 20 bucks. But it was all the powders, and the most I would use on a night is anywhere from 50 to 100 bucks for gambling. You know, and drinking and drugging, you can go for 7 or 8 hours and spend like 100 bucks. But 7 or 8 hours on a losing gambling run, man, that's a lot of money. You know, that is a lot of money. And now with the whole credit card thing, you know, oh, man, it's to me, I think it's a really serious health issue. It's a health issue, and until that's dealt with, we're going to see a lot of other problems.
And I don't think we're prepared. Valley's prepared for that. For the casino, the casino and the issues that are going to come, the negative on the United States comes from gambling and having a casino here in Calexico. It's just going to affect a lot of people.
So you think it's going to be, honestly, do you think it's going to be worse than having being surrounded, as you suggest, by casinos? I mean, do you think it takes it up a notch, having a local?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because, like what Mary was saying about the bus system, that they, you know, that's a great enabling system they have, and it works. But when you have it in your own backyard, I mean, and I don't really know the history of alcohol prohibition, you know. If it's not, if you're in the dry county, but you have to drive 100 miles to get a bottle, you know, then you have a certain level of motivation to get you there.
Right.
Well, and the other thing is you're going to deal with your stress. And that's the thing about it, as you mentioned earlier, is gambling, like the other things, is a stress response. Well, if you have to drive an hour to get there, that's when you might try something else a little bit closer. Well, you may take a walk instead. You know, you may own a friend, you may, you know, go down to your synagogue, whatever. But, you know, if it's right in your backyard, I'm telling you, you know, it's going to be very user-friendly. Access threshold goes way down.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, not happy about it, but it is what it is. And so, rather than wring our hands and go, oh, it's all bad, because, you know, it can be good, people will get jobs. But let's say, so saying from a great coach, John Wooden from UCLA, you know, it's like, you know, don't worry about what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. And sometimes, Jeremy, kind of what we want to do is, that's one of our services we want to develop in the future, is individual counseling, family counseling related to gambling issues, but also, you know, some support groups. You know, I, as a clinical social worker, we're about referring people to resources. And one of the things that I'm committed to is to help develop a gambler's hotline. We don't have that.
Well, the state hotline, I think, is about it right now.
Yeah, and but as a recovering person, and we talked about earlier relationships, I need to go someplace and meet some people who have recovered, who have success in this area. And the counseling center can be over here to help with the marriage problem, mm-hmm. or help with some of the
collateral damage.
Exactly. But in terms of recovery, you really need that fundamental support system, which is Gamblers Anonymous. These are things that are research-based that work. But if we don't have them, how motivated are drug addicts or gambling addicts to drive 60 miles to Yuma or 120 miles, you know, for that? And I don't see that.
Mm-hmm. I will plug Smart Recovery, which is systematic management and recovery techniques, I think the acronym, has a whole segment of its online program with online groups and online membership also related to gambling.
Great. And see, that's an area I don't really know very much about. I mean, through the internet, there's a lot of resources. But when it comes to that, the only thing I can think of is a friend of mine had cash, a very rare cancer. He got on the internet and found people all over the valley, over the country, in the world, who had this rare cancer. And he chatted and that helped him.
Yeah,
he's some great people from the country. So there are many resources on the internet that are helpful, that are working. I don't have access to that information. I believe it is very, very helpful for people. But, you know, the other thing for me, if you're not well,
I'm there's a generational thing where kids seem to be able to go into the internet world and have that same sense of relationship that you and I can only get face-to-face.
Right. Yeah. And I'm worried about that whole thing because on the internet I see the negative far outweighs the positive. But I think, like, SMART, that's a great thing that needs to be promoted. But the other thing, we have to look at the research.
actually, it may work on a short-term basis, but long-term, you know, I know the 12-step programs with the MEES work long-term. We know that to be a fact. But we really, like I say, we really need to have that face-to-face for people who don't have internet access or the right name. People are like, I got a speed person. I just have no interest in doing the chat thing because that's just not my way of relating.
You want to keep face-to-face.
Right. You know, because I need to know that it's a real person. You know,
some of our kids going, well, turn your camera on, Tim. People will be able to see you.
Well, we have one of those. Okay, we got it for my grandson, which is a little video thing, because his dad dabbles. And that's cool, but I'm not interested in sitting in front of a screen, you know. Being into a group of human beings where I can just sit and listen and I can say, what about this? And then, you know, get that authentic response where I can see the visual, the body language, all that stuff. You know,
feel the vibe.
Feel the vibe.
Yes, right.
Feel the love.
You're right. Good old time social media.
Well, you're going to have to get this planet again here at the clinic. The Sunshine Family Meets.
The free Saturday.
They're really good. Saturday, July the 11th at 10 a.m. They all start at 10.
At 1073 Ross.
Mm-hmm. 1073 Ross. The first session you're going to have is Feeling Fine in 2009. Stress Management, and that's going to be by Norman Munoz and this is Dash. And that's good because we don't know where the economy's going to go. Major every year, I listen to NPR. The Dow is up. The Dow is down. That there's
I'm glad you
know that it's, oh, we're getting out of the recession, and other people are not, it's going to take longer. So, the next one will be August the 1st, and Love Languages, How to Strengthen and Save Marriages. That's a good one. That's even if you don't have any problems in your marriage, it's still good. And
that's what you're going to be a good premarital seminar as well, because if you learn how your spouse or your fiance wants to be loved, and it's really a phenomenal area of learning about relationships. Very cool.
Okay. And that'll be by Valentino Viva.
Of course, I don't have my glasses.
They're right there.
Okay. An area that I am interested in and been. And I've worked a little bit, not as much as my other areas, is gerontology, you and your aging parents. I went through personal stuff about my parents passed away in the last several years. My mom passed away last year. So just how to cope with all the stress of an aging family member. That's a big baby boomer issue. I retired. I thought I was going to be free and now I'm taking care of my parents who are acting like children.
Yeah.
Except they're really big and hard to move.
Yeah. It's just becoming now, it used to be that, your parents, they're now living longer.
And the global warming, there's no icebergs to put these people on.
That's right. And how would you get there anyway?
God.
Anyway, that was a more of an Anglo response. You should rather laugh at that. I think there's never been an iceberg. White people saying totally different. But anyway, I'm doing one in September. You and your aging parents, that's September 5th. My mom passed away September 8th. I will probably cry. And that seminar, but that's okay because our parents are important. And then in October, Bob Whalen, Helping Your Child in School. He's a school psychologist and he's excellent at any type of academic or behavioral issue your child might be experiencing.
So these typically, July 1st is second because it'll be on the 4th, it's a holiday. But typically, these are the first Saturday every month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're over at 1073 Ross, which is right next to Buckland Park.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing Buckland Park. And you guys can do that for the community. It's free. Show up.
Yeah, it's part of, we're committed to community service. Just like the Angel Hub, you guys do a lot of free stuff for the community. Mm-hmm. That's our commitment. Part of this is social workers. Mm-hmm. We realize that a lot of people can't afford things. But as social workers, we're also interested in educating the community. That's prevention. That's about promoting wellness. And like I say, one of these seminars is going to keep somebody out of the mental health clinic. And that's a good thing. Because we're promoting wellness, like what I did about helping your children cope with divorce.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday. I think it was the Saturday of the Christmas parade. Mm-hmm. And I only had one woman show up. And it was great. She had a good hour and a half of some very good therapy.
And so, maybe keep her out of an office. Or, if things are bad, they need to get into an office. They need to get some counseling. So
if you say you heard it, now, let's talk about it. We show up on Saturday, July 11th at 10 in the morning. Just hear about human findings in 2009, stress management in Spanish. And you say you heard about it, let's talk about it. They're going to smile and say thank you.
We're very excited. Yeah, and they can also hear it on our podcast. Nowhere is Phoenix Soap on the website. So our podcast is there, and it will be there.
Great.
And then you can send it out to the internet.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.